We've got more results now from the latest Wisconsin survey. Twice every year, Wisconsin Public Radio, Wisconsin Public Television, and St. Norbert College ask Wisconsinites about their opinions and attitudes on political issues, including this year a question about how the head of the State Department of Public Instruction should be chosen.
Earlier this year, Republican Representative Joe Sanfilippo introduced a proposal to make the position an appointed one rather than an elected one. The change would require a constitutional amendment, meaning a majority of voters would have to approve the measure. And according to the Wisconsin survey, the support isn't there. 84% of survey respondents say they'd like to keep the position as an elected one versus 10% who say the governor should appoint the superintendent.
Here with us now to take a closer look at the results, how we got here in the first place, is Alan Borsuk, Senior Fellow in Law and Public Policy at Marquette University Law School. Alan, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here.
So a big majority, as we mentioned, of survey respondents say, hey, let's keep this job, the state superintendent of education, elected, not appointed, as some Republicans are calling for. What's your read on those results?
Well, you said I was going to take a closer look at it, and frankly, you don't need to take too close a look to see at 84 to 10 that there's overwhelming opposition to this idea. And you say, well, what's the margin of error? I don't think that's a relevant question in this case. So I think Representative Sanfilippo, I should add that I don't want to take a direct stand myself, but it's pretty clear he's out there in a pretty lonely position, which I find it hard to believe myself that the legislature can go forward with this idea facing that kind of public sentiment.
Now, this is something that maybe people haven't given a lot of thought to with the right framing, the right sales pitch, I guess, from someone who wanted to make that change. It's something that maybe would change the public's mind. But whatever it comes down to, the public would have to weigh in on this because it would be a constitutional amendment. So you think this would be a tough hill to climb, it sounds like.
Oh, any constitutional amendment is. It has to be passed by two consecutive sessions of the legislature, each house of the legislature, which generally means at least a two-year process, and then it has to go to a statewide referendum. Representative Sanfilippo insists this wasn't politically motivated, even though it's hard to escape the fact that the Republicans pretty much don't like the current state superintendent, Tony Evers, who is definitely, it's fair to say, aligned historically with the more liberal wing of things, the more education establishment wing, and you could even say Democrats, although it's a nonpartisan office. So he says this is just good government, that there'd be more accountability if the governor was picking the state superintendent. On the other hand, this goes back to the founding of the state in the 1840s, so it's not exactly a new idea to elect the superintendent, and people pretty clearly want to vote for their elected officials based on these results.
And this is a position that probably a lot of people don't think about or didn't used to think about that much. I think in a recent piece you had some trivia questions about the great state superintendents in Wisconsin history. But now, education, very polarized issue. This position gets a lot more attention. How did that happen? How did we get from, you know, kind of a quiet background job to something that is politicized?
Well, everything's politicized these days except for rooting for the Packers. In the case of education, I think you can sum it up by pointing to a few things. The rise of the private school voucher program, starting in Milwaukee 25 years ago this fall, and now it's available statewide. Just today, I saw some numbers suggesting there were 32,000 plus students getting vouchers to go to private school statewide this year. So that's a major change in the landscape and a highly political one. You also can't escape pointing towards Act 10 and the whole tumultuous events of the spring of 2011 and throttling, I don't know what word's the right word, but just about eradication of the powers of teachers' unions, which was a highly politicizing and polarizing event. And in general, the Common Core has become highly politicized, even though, frankly, I'm not sure how many people actually understand the issue. So education policymaking is more partisan. It used to be a kind of a classic, something you'd point to as a bipartisan subject, and that is no longer true.
Republicans have criticized the way DPI heads are elected, in part because it's a lower turnout election in the spring, these nonpartisan elections, and they say you've got a built-in constituency of teachers, people who work in education, who will turn up to vote for somebody favorable to them. So it's a built-in bias, I guess they say, toward a particular mindset of a DPI chief. Is that part of what Republicans here are worried about or trying to change?
Well, you could say that, and they do say that. I think you have to consider it is a spring. It's an election in the spring of odd-numbered years, 2017. April of 2017 will be the next general election for superintendent with a primary in, I believe, February, if there are more than two people who run. Those are small turnout elections. It used to be a common criticism that the office was owned, so to speak, by the state teachers union. But you have to factor in that by 2013, when the current superintendent, Tony Evers, won his second term, spending by WEAC and the power of teacher unions had been greatly diminished. I try to keep an eye on real results and real politics, and the real results are that the, so to speak, more liberal or more teacher establishment-oriented candidate has won, I believe, at least the last five elections for state superintendent, and the one more aligned with conservative and Republican interests has lost, and usually by pretty decisive margins. So I think if the Republicans had won some of those elections, they wouldn't be interested in the idea of getting a superintendents in some different way.
Talking to Alan Borsuk from Marquette University, looking at the role of the state superintendent of public instruction, a constitutional amendment proposed by Republican legislators wanting to change that from a directly elected position to a governor's appointee. Well, let's talk about, Alan, the thinking behind that. You know, the Department of Administration head isn't elected, the DNR chief not elected. Why was this set aside, as you say, back born with the state to have this position be elected separately?
I don't know if I know the history well enough. You're talking about 1849. even I wasn't around then, and I'm old. But it's certainly, education is a different matter. Education is such a common denominator interest statewide. It is a power that's vested primarily in state government. Local schools are, by law, extensions of the state on this, and always have been. And going back to those roots, the superintendent was supposed to be elected. Now, frankly, it was a extraordinarily low-profile position for all those years. It's become more high-profile, although I'm pretty sure Tony Evers could walk down the street with hardly anybody recognizing him. I mean, it's not like being governor. There's about a dozen or so states that elect state superintendents. There's a dozen or so that have governor appointments. There's the rest generally would have appointments by a state board of education. And that's an interesting piece of context here. Wisconsin is one of the only a handful of states that does not have a state board of education, something for kindergarten through 12th education that would be comparable to the Board of Regents for the University of Wisconsin system. And it is the only state, I've been told, I believe this is a factual statement, it's the only state in the country that does not have a board of education, but does have an elected state chief education administrator. So we're kind of out there a little bit in a special category. Nothing right or wrong necessarily about that, but it does make Wisconsin distinctive.
You wrote about the back and forth over this proposal between the DPI and the sponsors of the legislation. What kind of things did we hear when this was first floated?
Well, everybody does things in the name of good government. Nobody's so Representative Sanfilippo, frankly, he's the only one I know of who's really been outspoken on this, and even Representative Voss, the Speaker of the Assembly, when it first came up, said, gee, I think people prefer to elect their officials whenever there's a question about that. So I'm dubious about how it's going to go in the legislature. I was dubious even before these results came out, but at 84-10, you're not going to see much. But I think Representative Sanfilippo has been arguing that this would be better government, there'd be more connection between the DPI and the governor's office and more ability for a governor to respond to public opinion and appoint or disappoint a superintendent. Whereas Tony Evers, the current superintendent, used the occasion a few weeks ago of his annual State of Education address to say that this flew in the face of empowering the people of Wisconsin, that in a way that went back to the start of the state. So the rhetoric is pretty strong as to what would be more responsive to education needs and to the will of the people.
We're talking with Alan Borsuk about the latest Wisconsin survey results, looking at what people had to say about who should choose the next state superintendent of public instruction. 84% of survey respondents say they'd like to keep the position as an elected one, versus 10% say they like this idea of a constitutional amendment to have the governor appoint the superintendent.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What do you make of these results, and who do you think should have the power to choose the superintendent of schools in the state? And why do you think education issues have gotten more politically charged in recent years? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're talking with Alan Borsuk of Marquette University about the latest Wisconsin survey results, and we're taking a look at what respondents had to say about who should choose the state superintendent of schools. 84% of survey respondents said they'd like to keep the position as an elected one, versus 10% who say they'd rather have the governor appoint the superintendent.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Who do you think should be in charge of selecting the head of the DPI? Why do you think the state legislature and the DPI have clashed in recent years, and what does all this mean for the future of education in the state? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to Nancy now in Appleton. Nancy, hi.
Hi.
What do you think?
Well, I guess I'm one of the 84%, or I don't guess it. I know I'm one of the 84% that feels that it should be decided in an election. And I'm very concerned about education in this state and some of the issues that I don't think have been addressed while all this is going on. I'm concerned with the voucher schools and the money that is taken away from our public schools. I'm concerned with all the power that our governor seems to be, in my humble opinion, seems to be trying to garner. And I don't understand his motivation whatsoever. And I would like those things to be more addressed, I guess, by him. But he seems to just brush off anything that doesn't quite praise what he's doing.
Nancy, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Alan, you mentioned that voucher point as something that people are concerned about. It's a big issue at schools this year. Where does that stand now? Are we locked in where we're going to be for years to come, or is this still something that's a moving target?
Oh, there's lots of parts in motion, and that'll continue. We have a fairly stable and slightly growing situation in the city of Milwaukee where things started, which this fall is about 27,000 students, which is well over 20% of the total school-age population in Milwaukee that are using vouchers to go to private schools, the large majority of them religious. There's a couple thousand plus in Racine, and that program is in its fourth year and has no cap on the number of students who can take part, so it'll probably keep growing because it's still kind of youngish. And statewide, this year there's more than 3,000 students getting vouchers, and this is that expansion is only in its third year. In the state budget that was approved in June, or actually it was into July by the time they approved it, there is a big expansion of the statewide voucher program. It's got a lot of rules and ups and downs of how to get into it and so on, many of which will melt away as the years go on. The cap on how many students can take part, which is now 1% of the students in any specific school district, will go up 1 point a year, and by 10 years from now will then be eliminated. I just spoke yesterday to the head of School Choice Wisconsin, Jim Bender, and he said that they've heard from, which is the main pro-voucher group in the state, I should add. He said they've heard from literally hundreds of schools that are interested in taking part in coming years in the voucher program. So I expect on the statewide front, there'll be a lot of growth, and it'll be, very controversial. Some really positive sentiment and some really negative sentiment.
And that's been a point of friction between Tony Evers at DPI and Republican lawmakers. He's perceived as, and rightly perceived, I think, as opposing expansion of vouchers.
Well, you'd get into huge discussion about that if you pursued it. The Republicans certainly think DPI is not a neutral party, is an anti-voucher party, and they have been responsible from the start in administering the program, but they can only administer what the law is, so they can't stop the growth within the limits of the law or whatever. If anything, I think DPI deserves some credit for being a break, and a good one at times, on doing something about some of the worst of the schools in the voucher program, which there are in Milwaukee. There were some, and still are a few, really terrible schools. I can't think of another word to describe them that's any milder than that. So the DPI people would say, we're just enforcing the law, but I think there's not much doubt that you know, the vouchers were never Tony Evers' idea. And he has at times said the expansion of vouchers is being done in a way that is not fair to the much larger number of kids, over 800,000, who are still going to the traditional public schools. So to that extent, he's been a critic for sure. But just, are they pro or con? The DPI folks would say mostly they're administrators. And the Republicans would certainly say that's not the case. They're a hostile force, kind of pick your point. You know, this 84-10 result, one of the things that's striking about it is on almost every education policy question, such as this woman was bringing up, the division is much tighter. And if it's voucher questions, if it's school funding questions, if it's what do you think of a variety of, you know, the Common Core I mentioned earlier, the division is much closer to 50-50. It's very rare to see an 84-10 result on anything other than, are you in favor of good education for children, which, of course, that would be 100-0.
Talking to Alan Borsuk from Marquette University about Wisconsin survey results on the state superintendent of schools, who should pick that job, voters or the governor. As you mentioned, 84% say continue electing that post. Back to our callers now at 800-642-1234 with Nick on the line in Greenfield. Nick, hi.
Yeah, hi. I'll start out by saying that I absolutely do not want the governor to appoint the superintendent of state superintendent of schools. Absolutely not. Now, as far as watching politics, there are some of us who watch it all the time, and all we see is more and more of the things that the people would be trying to look for is being moved into under control of the governor. And we don't like that at all. The input of the people is just being absolutely choked off. And the last thing I want to say is that the vouchers program started out to be for low-income inner-city students. And the governor and his group there have slowly moved it over to making it available to people who can already afford to put their kids in private school.
All right, Nick, I want to give Alan a chance to jump in here. So a perception, Nick says, that Governor Walker is trying to take more and more authority in schools. Is that the perception, do you think, from people in those schools?
From people in the schools, like teachers and such?
Exactly.
I would bet the answer is yes. I mean, teachers do, public school teachers, in large part, best as I can tell. I've never seen exact results on this, but they feel kind of put upon, and you know, they're not a morale among public school teachers is not so great, best as I know. In this poll, the St. Norbert poll that Wisconsin Public Radio joined them on, you know, people were kind of grouchy, if I may say so, on the whole, and whether you think the state's going in the right direction, whether you think the nation's going in the right direction. Approval ratings for Governor Walker have dropped sharply in both this poll and in the Marquette Law School poll, which I actually worked on a little bit, ever since he ran for president. So this feeling of we don't like what's going on and we're unhappy with Governor Walker has certainly grown and is an important force. I think it's really worth keeping in mind.
Alan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Glad to be here.
That was Alan Borsak, Senior Fellow in Law and Public Policy at Marquette University Law School. He joined us to talk about the latest Wisconsin survey results and what people had to say about who should choose the state superintendent of schools.